Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, if you're around Camden Street in Dublin over the weekend, you might have spotted a white van known as the Nino. It's helping to make Dublin's nightlife safer, staffed with medics and support workers. It's already assisted more than 500 people with everything from first aid to flip-flops. Ray O'Donoghue is nighttime economy advisor to Dublin City Council, and Nicky Wan works on the Nino service, and both of them join us in studio this afternoon. Good afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, Nicky.
Good afternoon.
How are you, Ray?
I'm good. The Nino van. Nicky, explain it to our listeners, please.
Okay, so the Nino van is literally a repurposed ambulance, and it is kind of fully stocked with, you know, basic medical equipment, you know, plasters more so. And we have medics, welfare officers and some security. And essentially, we're just there to help out anyone who's on a night out who maybe lost charge on their phone, can't find their friends, cut their foot, you know, whatever it may be. We're just there to help. You know.
How long has it been going for?
So there was a pilot last Christmas, but it was a different name. So the Nino itself was running just as an initial pilot at the start of July this year, and ran through until kind of late August. And now the kind of next phase is such as rolling out from now until kind of late October.
So sort of beacon. It's a beacon there in the middle of Dublin city centre of a night out.
Yeah, and it's something that people can see.
It's a tangible initiative
and I think that's what's important, because we all hear about task force and working groups, so on. But, you know, when you can actually see something on the street, I think that's important. It gives people some kind of reassurance that we're actually trying to do something to help them with safety.
And Nicky, you're there, so you person it, man it, whatever. So give us an example of the type of people who come up and use the services of the Nino van.
I suppose it depends on the evening. Kind of a baptism of fire. One of the first nights, we actually had someone who came up, was brought by the guards covered in blood. He'd had an accident, and essentially we had to get him cleaned up and help him out. Now, he didn't need an ambulance, thankfully, at that point. But then on our second night, we actually had to help a girl who sustained a head injury, you know, and, you know, we were keeping an eye on her. And that's the whole thing. Like, we sort of assess as we go. Like, we have these amazing medics that work on the team, and they are assessing everything all the time, taking, you know, various different stats and keeping an eye on them. And then if we do think that it's a necessity to call an ambulance, then that's what we do.
Sounds like a great initiative.
Yeah.
And Ray, you're the night mayor.
Well, that's the nickname, yeah.
The nickname. So, nighttime economy advisor. And you're in the job for how long?
Just 18 months now.
And what's the job description?
I think the first couple of months I was just finding my feet, putting together the strategy. The strategy is out now for a year. And
what's the aim of the strategy?
Well, there's three pillars to the strategy. More cultural activity, so more low cost and free activity and so on. We've done a lot of late night versions of established festivals that are already around the city. Transport and working with the NTA to try and develop more transport options, and then safety. And I don't like to say safety first, but safety, of course, is paramount.
And what was the impetus for this? Because this is a full-time role.
And as you know, I'm coming from a very different background, 25 years of
promoter, music promotion, DJing, all of that.
So literally the job came up.
The impetus on behalf of Dublin City Council.
It came actually from a task force that was set up a few years ago, a nighttime economy task force. And one of the recommendations was to install nighttime advisors around the country in the major cities and a couple of towns. And it's actually still on a pilot scheme at the minute. So I think there's another 6 to 12 months or something at what we're currently chatting about, how far we're going to extend it. But that's the impetus, I think, was it's a kind of a global movement to an extent. There's nighttime advisors, nightmares throughout the world. There's about 100 or something in various cities around the world.
So we were looking to major European cities, for example.
And
saw what they were doing.
Yeah, and I mean, the likes of Berlin, they set up the Club Commission. That's 25 years ago. I think the first nightmare in Amsterdam was 2012.
Okay.
So we're behind
late
the curve.
To the party.
We are late to the party, but we're slowly but surely catching up.
Yeah. And I suppose the weekend, not a good weekend for you, because Skylar Thompson, a quarterback with the NFL, was attacked. He suffered minor injuries. He was mugged at half 2, wasn't it, on Dame Street, When you hear stories like that, what do you think? Because that's a high-profile story, isn't it?
Of course, it's never a good news when I hear that, or you wake up to hear that kind of news, and these incidents shouldn't be happening, but they happen. But I think, I mean, as unfortunate as we do have to put it into perspective to an extent, there's 2 million people in Greater Dublin. There's 8 or 9 million tourists coming in every year. There's hundreds of thousands moving throughout the city over weekend. And that's not an excuse. I'm just saying, putting it into some form of perspective. We do have a big major city now, and every city does have these problems and edge to it, but
it's unfortunate because he's such a high profile person.
Of course.
And it's the first time Dublin has hosted.
And thankfully, you hate to see something like that, an incident like that, mar the celebrations.
I was listening to Morning Ireland this morning, and Social Democrat TD Gary Gannon was on. And he described a spectre of violence hanging over the city centre at present. He said it's absolutely a trend. Every week we hear different incidents, assaults on the quays, people stabbed in the city. It's not speaking down of the city of Dublin to say that we have substantial issues there, and it's not going to be addressed by wishing away. It's bleak in Dublin city centre at the moment. Now, that's not a great ad.
But I read that interview, and Gary did make some good points about what, you know, investment in youth, setting up projects for youth around the city. And I think that's where the angle we should be going, and not curfews or expulsion zones. I wouldn't agree with that. I think we're trying to encourage people into the city. Yeah. I think there's.
But that's the thing, like over 400,000 people listen to Morning Ireland. They would have heard him say
over 400,000 people were in the city over the weekend, and it's unfortunate that an incident. And I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying that these are one-off incidents.
I feel for you, because as you said at the outset, one of the pillars of your job is safety.
Yeah.
And I suppose you need to make people believe that Dublin city centre is safe to come into at night.
And I'm in the city every day, sometimes twice a day, and I genuinely do feel safe in the city.
Yeah.
And
I suppose, as he said, he's a 6'2" guy who's used to walking around the city. You look like you're about 6'2" as well. He said if I was a person from the migrant community, an LGBT community, a woman walking along the street, I don't think it would do the same level. In other words, I wouldn't feel as safe. Anyway, part of the initiative is the Ní Ná Van, and it is a great service. So, as you're saying, it's a pilot. Do you think there should be more than just one van? This is on the south side of the city.
We're still in that pilot phase, and we're currently looking at trying to get funding to run it on a permanent basis. And we're also talking about putting one on the north side of the city, or potentially a permanent base, that it's an area you can go to as opposed to being a mobile van. So the options are being explored at the minute. And I think it goes back to the focus of just trying to make the city safer for everyone and giving the people a little bit of that reassurance. And this is part of that.
And Nicky, you're there in the Ní Ná van, and I often find when you're in a stationary vehicle that people don't know you're there. So you can observe things, can't you?
We get up and we walk around.
Oh, do you?
You know,
yes,
so
yes.
We
the tables
yeah,
outside.
So we have like a pop-up tent outside with a table, but we'll actually get up and engage with people just to walk by and go, "Hey, how are you? Are you okay?" You know, a lot of times we might even sometimes you just see someone in the distance and you're like, they might need help. You know, a girl limping from an awful pair of heels that she might be wearing, or someone who's a bit wobbly. You know, so you'll just kind of go, "Oh, you okay? Would you like some water? You know, do you want to have a little sit down?" You know, sometimes just even offering that helping hand can be.
Do you sense any tension in Dublin city centre late at night?
In that area, no.
No.
I feel really safe, you know, and I'm very lucky that I have like a great team around me as well. And we all feel really safe and supported.
Yeah. Part of the thing that you want is that there's going to be staggered closing times,
and you want the
people to have the choice.
I think the choice should be there, and that's the important thing. I'm not a full blown campaigner for that. I'm just believe the choice should be there. I travel around Europe a lot, and we're the capital city that shuts down the earliest of all EU capitals. I think the next is Helsinki. It's 5 a.m. So I just think we need to give the younger people the trust that they're able to behave responsibly.
And I've heard you say that it would be market driven, that there may not be a viable.
Exactly. Listen, if we waved a magic wand and was brought in tomorrow,
yeah.
There's not going to be 100 places that are going to open till 5 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to happen. There'll be a handful. and maybe a handful, and then maybe only half of them will survive it and say, well, this isn't actually working for us. But I think the choice should be there.
And what about the non-drinking alternatives for people? Do you think there are enough?
Well, that's very interesting, because it is something that we're working on at the minute. I'm doing a project with Google Maps. I don't want to tell more about it because I don't have all the... relatively soon. It's something that you'd really like yourself. I know you would, because there's so many different alternatives to do that people aren't aware of. And we want to have a one-stop list where you can actually look at this map and go, oh, look at all these activities. Look at these like cafes that are open. There's some great galleries and that are, may only be one night a week, but there really is like a comprehensive list of stuff. So we're putting that out, and we're going to that'll be marketed and out there in the in the ether of.
You know, is there a vibrant club culture in Dublin still?
There is, but it's quite it genuinely is, and I actually nearly had to find it again myself, because I'm coming from that background as well, 30 years ago. And there's an underground scene, and it's a nice scene. There's a nice community there. And
not as big as it would have been when you were DJing.
No, it's not. Like when I was DJing in the kitchen, we had the kitchen, the pod, the red box, all these great places. Mm. And there is not the same level of clubs. Like, we know that. That's a fact. But there really is. There's, you know, we did Culture Night late. And I think that's important. Some of the stuff I'm trying to do as well is to bring that that scene, I suppose, into the mainstream. We did St. Patrick's Festival After Dark, first time that was ever a late night version. Bridget Festival, Culture Night Late, 8 Venue Trail over the night of Culture Night. And more of this, and bring, like, actually giving it some respect that it is actually a cultural form. In Berlin, it's recognised by UNESCO as an actual cultural form.
Clubbing
is, yeah. So, and we're like, oh, you know, I could see a smile on your face.
I was on the dance floor in Reraw on my own.
There you go.
Most weekends.
You were a club DJ at one stage yourself.
Yeah, I was, yeah, down the country. Down the country. Not the same as you. You were pure at Dublin clubs. But yeah, I suppose times have changed. That's what I'm trying to establish. And the other thing is that culturally we are different to the rest of Europe, aren't we? And part of it is because of our climate.
But maybe that's a big picture thing as well that I'd love to be some part of, is to try and slightly change, because the culture is changing and culture changes. You can't say we're different and we'll always be, you know.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is...
We're different than we were 30 years ago. We're different than we were 100 years ago.
Maybe part of the reason we're different is because, you know, we don't have warm weather.
I know, and we have our dinner at 8 o'clock. Yes, and we have we're not out. We don't go to a restaurant in Spain at 10 o'clock and the place is empty.
Like, so one size doesn't fit all is what...
I'm not saying that, but I think that we can change the behaviour, and we are changing. There's 25% less alcohol with the youth of today.
So that's
a cultural change,
isn't it? Yeah.
Sometimes they'll go out and they won't drink at all. Maybe they'll go out and they'll have two drinks. I mean, when I was young, when I was that age, 19 or 20, we just went out and that was it. It was a cultural thing. It was kind of peer pressure. Even you couldn't leave after two drinks almost. Yeah. So I think that has changed, and that whole attitude, and there's more people going to the gyms and they're more concerned about their well-being, their health and so on. And that's a positive thing.
So Nino is going to be there. Is it always at the end of is it always on Camden Street? Yes.
We did actually go to we went to the Oasis gig. Yes. So just there was a lot of kind of transient crowd. There's a few other little plans potentially coming up with other aligned events, but generally the top of Camden Street.
And there's a Google Map project with alternative activities coming up as well. Thanks so much for coming in. Nicky Wan, who works with the Nino Service, and Ray O'Donoghue, who's the Nighttime Economy Advisor with Dublin City Council. Thank you both. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.